Little Emily biting her sister, or is teenage Barry refusing to help around the house? Consulting psychologist David Carey joins us to answer all your parenting woes. Anyway, David Carey joins us once again for our parenting slot. David, good afternoon.
Happy to be here, Sean.
First question is this. My four-year-old son has been dealing with some anxiety issues lately. It started a few months ago when he got scared of a cartoon character and kept thinking about it afterwards. That was okay for a while, but it suddenly got worse, where over the course of a few days, he was almost constantly coming up to us and telling us about very strange things, like imagining there's someone in the wall or harmless objects that will hurt him, or even thinking touching the toilet would turn him into slime. Thankfully, it died down, but has increased a bit in the last few days. I've no doubt that the telly, iPad and games have an effect on him, and we're trying to cut them down. My question is, how should we deal with this? Is this something that can happen at this age? He seems to have a very vivid imagination.
Well, I'm distressed to hear that this young fellow has access to an iPad and games at age four. There's no reason for that whatsoever. Parents, no iPads, no video games until at least age five, and in very limited doses after that. Let's get a grip on this once and for all. Parents are not stepping up to the bar here. I'm sorry to be pointing fingers, but I hear it over and over and over again every day of the week. I can't get him off his iPad, etc. Now we have four-year-olds being frightened by what they're seeing on iPads and telly. Yes, there is a way to deal with this. We went through this, I think, Sean, maybe last week, creating a worry box. Where you get an empty tissue box, you have the child decorated. Every day he or she can draw and or write a worry on a piece of paper and slip it into the worry box. 15 minutes every day, the child gets to take a worry out of the worry box and discuss it with mommy and daddy, and that's the worry time, and mommy and daddy will do a couple of simple things. One, do not reassure the child that everything is fine, that there is no bogeyman, and that you don't turn into slime. Acknowledge their feelings. I know it's scary, son. Let's talk about it a little bit. Tell me exactly what you're thinking about that gets you so worried like this. Okay, mommy and daddy are here to help. Now, here's a good way we're going to help you. Let's practice some nice little breathing exercise together for a couple of minutes. Now, breathe with me. And you do some nice, deep, regulated breaths. The goal is eventually to get the child doing 6 to 8 breaths per minute. 6 to 8 respiration cycles per minute will calm down the central nervous system. So there's a lot of things you can do here. Children this age do not require psychological treatment or intervention for these kind of anxieties and worries. This is very common amongst young children. We are being exposed and bombarded as adults and as children with an endless stream of horrifying news, disasters, unpleasant events in the world around us and far away. I'm having children come into the office now saying that they can't stop thinking about ISIS and terrorism attacks, etc. This whole internet business and instant communication is not good for the human brain. It is particularly not good for the child's brain. We have got to cut down on tablet usage, smartphone usage for children. That should be step number one, and that happens in the family home. And so let's proceed cautiously, slowly. You can help solve this problem. A few simple steps like that, and the problem will probably go away.
Yeah.
He's also, you know, children will constantly come to parents and invent almost anything in their head to get some parental attention and comfort and concern. So be very careful. Be enormously observant. Are you providing him with soothing and comfort when he doesn't really ask for it by worrying and bringing his worries to you? Surprise him with hugs. Surprise him with I love you messages and cuddles when he's playing and completely happy, and say something simple. Mommy just loves it when you're happy like this. I'm here to help you keep happy most of the time. Let's have a big hug.
Yeah, yeah. They, at that age as well, do they have do they have difficulty telling the difference between reality and what they're imagining?
Some do, yes, absolutely. It gets all blurred. I think some of this is attention-seeking, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, this business of I'm going to turn into slime. I would like to, for mom and dad to talk to the boy. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
That's a rather uncommon cognition for a four-year-old. I bet he picked it up somewhere from some cartoon or something that he saw. I don't know. As a four-year-old watching YouTube, could very well be possible.
There's an iPad, there could be. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there could be. I have two boys, 2.5 and 4.5, and they're proper little boys. They love each other, are protected of one another, and sometimes play great. It's the usual wrestling and rough and tumble and some role games, cars, building, etc. The trouble I have is when they start play wrestling. It always ends up with them getting hurt. One hits the other by accident, and then the older one punches or kicks the younger full force, or the younger bites the older. I've tried separating them into different rooms, but they just won't stop. And the younger one is too young to realize the consequences of his actions. I'd leave them at it, except I'm worried they'll really get hurt. My husband is the same as me. Once the fighting gets bad, he loses cool and lets a roar out, and we don't want to be shouting at our kids. I know they're just boys, but I don't know how to help them play nicer and calm down. They're grand when out at the park, etc. It's mainly at home in the evenings that they go for the jugular with each other. Is that just the way it is? Do I have to learn how to cope or react better?
It isn't just the way it is. And there's something very interesting lurking out in the question, Sean, and that is the difference in how we socialize little boys and what we expect from them.
Yeah.
Because our questioner says, I know they're just boys.
Mm.
Well, number one step, let's ban wrestling play in this family home. If it frequently gets out of control, they shouldn't be doing it. It's as simple as that. It's time to sit down and let's make a list. From now on and henceforth, there's going to be no play wrestling anymore. By the way, are they watching wrestling on television, these young fellas? Is wrestling still on television, by the way? Is there any wrestling on anymore? I don't know.
I don't think so. But just don't little boys just end up doing that kind of thing anyway?
Sure they do. And this is a time also for the beloved magic sentence. I'm absolutely surprised that two boys your age can't play without hurting each other. To be honest, most boys your age have already learned how to do that. Turn your back, walk away, don't look back.
Mm.
Appeal to what's higher within them. The magic sentence does work. We've had dozens and dozens of affirmations of texts and callers saying, yes, it really works. So use it. But I think it's time to knock out the wrestling game. There will be some rumble and tumble, won't there, amongst boys and girls and sisters and brothers?
Mm.
It happens. It's not only a disaster. If one of the two participants doesn't have good self-regulation skills and gets carried away and goes over the top, yes, someone could get hurt. When you hear or see them start this, intervene early in the chain of events. It's time to move in.
Mm.
We don't let just stand by and watch children pull lumps out of each other, do we?
Yeah.
We move in, we create a distraction, and we say, no, we're not going to play that game anymore. Now it's time for you to think of some other game. Create some alternatives with them.
Yeah.
So that they have some other choices.
Yeah, because I say the 2.5-year-old probably wouldn't know.
Ah, 2.5-year-old doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Yeah,
does he?
They just pummel them. But I can kind of imagine this situation that you hear them wrestling and they're laughing. And you go, oh, they're having a great time. And then the next thing, they're screaming.
Well, the game is played very exquisitely, as we've described before, because sometimes the perp is really the victim.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you a good example. Once I was standing in a school hallway. This is back in the States, fourth class children. And I overheard two boys talking. They were queued up outside the door. And one boy said to the other, call me a pig. And the other boy said, I'm not going to call, I won't call you a pig. Go on, call me a pig. I'm not calling you a pig. Call me a pig. Okay, you're a pig. teacher, Johnny called me a pig. And the next thing I know, this teacher ripped this young fellow out of the line, pulled him across the hall, and gave out to him, took strips off him. It was terrible. It was all a setup.
Yeah. Paul says, so no iPad for a four-year-old. My youngest is now 5. What is the acceptable amount of time they should be allowed on an iPad or an Xbox? We ban them Monday to Thursday, but at the weekend they all use them.
5-year-old, half hour a day max.
Mm.
My opinion.
Yeah. My daughter is 18 and is in her leaving cert year. She's very anxious, depressed, and is now self-harming. She hates school and struggles with schoolwork. She refuses to see anyone. I'm worried sick. School is very understanding, but I'm at my wit's end. What do I do?
Contact your GP. tee it up with GP, let the GP know exactly what's happening. It's time to take her in inverted commas, for her annual checkup, because she's now a young adult.
Yeah.
We want to see that she's perfectly healthy. GP will have a very forthright, frank, and open conversation with your daughter.
Yeah. Even using that kind of slight bit of deceit to get her into the GP.
I would not stop at deceiving my self-harming child in any way imaginable. I would concoct any lie I could concoct to get her to help, or him to help.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This absolutely is not a time for ethical parenting.
Yeah.
This is a time for active and appropriate parenting.
I have a wonderful 14-month-old, but I find myself giving in to what she wants and readjusting my ideas of what she can and can't do. Where do I draw the line? And more importantly, how do I teach her some things aren't okay?
Stop giving in to her. You are the parent. There is absolutely no reason why you should give in to the demands of a 14-month-old, an 18-month-old, a 14-year-old. You are in charge. Take control. Be firm. Be loving. Kind and reasonable. Have your limits. Stick to them. You won't always be right, but I guarantee you, you'll be wrong. Right far more often than you will be wrong.
Yeah.
It's time for an attitude adjustment. Go to the mirror. Remind yourself, I'm the parent, not the 14-year-old. Take control. Don't give in. How can you prevent the temptation to give in? By time sometimes. Stop and think before you set a limit. You don't always need to react immediately. Give yourself a little time.
Yeah, I wonder what they mean by that. I find myself giving in to what she wants and readjusting my ideas of what she can and can't do. It's almost like after the fact kind of justification for, well, you know.
Now, that's wishy-washy parenting. Won't get you anywhere. And that child will quickly grow up to realize you don't mean a thing you say.
Mm.
So that later on in life, when you say, no, you can't go to Dundrum Shopping Center with Johnny, Paul, Bruce, and Zach, you don't mean it.
Yeah.
And if they keep at you and at you, you'll eventually give in and then readjust your thinking.
Yeah.
That's not parenting.
But Mom, Zach's going.
Who cares about Zach anyway?
We have a 13-year-old girl starting the transformation into a teenager. We've always tried to push chores in the household. Nothing major, just things like keep your room clean, make sure dirty clothes are in the wash basket and not on the floor, empty dishwasher when needed, and hoover and polish once a week. It's a small house. I'd say there's maybe 1.5 hours work combined over the week, which I think is very little, and she could be doing more, but she's always dragged her heels when getting these things done. We've tried different approaches to this, little and often, or just one day a week, or chores done before a certain time, generally all in vain. And we're annoying each other at this stage due to arguments and tension. I don't want to be constantly at her and feel we are missing out on having the crack, as I think it's important she has responsibilities that should be done. Any advice would be appreciated.
Well, let's first of all remember what level of development she is in. She is in the early adolescent stage of development, which is raw and rampant narcissism.
Yeah.
It's all about me, me, me. You don't understand me. You don't love me. Why are you bothering me like this? I clean my room. It's my room anyway, etc. Parents, you all know how this goes. In regards to the dirty teenage room, I honestly am looking back now, having fought this battle unsuccessfully with 38-year-old daughter. God love you, Bridget, out there. Thank you for not listening. and, you know, she doesn't live in that room anymore. We do not live in that house anymore. Someone else's child is in that room now. It wasn't worth it. It really wasn't. Nothing is worth destroying your relationship with your child. If you find yourself nagging and scolding over and over again, it's time to stop, take a deep breath, pause, and ask yourself what it is you want in the long term from your child. Yes, contribution to the life of the family is important. There are some simple things. If clothes are not put in the laundry basket, they don't get laundered. It's as simple as that.
Mm.
Now it's your choice, child. If you want your clothes laundered, I'm happy to put them. You put them in the laundry basket. Mom and or dad, and I hope it's more often dad, will put the laundry in and get it all done for you. Or would you prefer to do it yourself? I'll show you how to use the machine. etc. So just some basic things, but don't get all overwrought with this. Can you notice what's good and decent and kind about your 13-year-old daughter? Is she doing well in school? Does she have friends? Are her values and moral center appropriate to your own family values and moral center? If all of that is going well, you've got a good kid there.
Mm.
And I wouldn't get wrapped up in all this. They're not contributing to the household chores. I would ask ourselves as parents, although I do believe it's important, by the way, but I have to ask myself a question. Is it really that important? Are they put there on earth to do the chores for us? Or are we not put there by having them to look after them, support them, nurture, and care for them, including even instrumental tasks?
Yeah.
But we have to prepare them for life later.
Yes.
I knew you were going to say that,
yeah.
Sean. I can tell by that disgusted look on your face.
It's just that I know, I'm like, and it's kind of that there is probably a lot of worry. It's probably a lot of parents might have the worry, this whole generation snowflake thing, that we're just, that they're all a bit too indulged and they don't know how to clean up after themselves.
That's
they can't
as old as the caveman, for God's sakes.
Yeah. The other thing is that the floor drobe, as it's called, where they just leave their clothes on the floor. I started the thing where I said, right, this is what I'm going to do. Because there's one room in the house that has an ensuite, so all my girls tend to congregate in that room, even though they might necessarily all sleep there.
Right.
And the place is covered in clothes on the floor.
Yeah.
So I said, right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to come in once a week and with a black bag. And I'm going to put those clothes in the black bag. And once that bag is full, I'm putting it into the clothes recycling down the road.
Oh, Sean, now. Have you ever done
that? Reign of terror. Yeah. No, but they responded to it.
Okay.
Now they put all the clothes on the table in the room.
Right.
Which is sort of a legalistic response to what
exactly,
I did.
Exactly.
There are no clothes on the floor, but they're just piled up on the table.
Now, I mean, parents who want to go down that line, by the way, that I once went down the line, do you really want to throw away your children's clothes that you bought and paid for and you're going to have to go out and buy new ones? Do you want them absolutely hating you for throwing away that most favorite blouse or whatever it might have been that you have now just usurped from them, that you bought for them, etc.? I don't think it's worth it. I really don't.
But if they love it so much, why have they just chucked it on the floor?
They're teenagers, right?
Yeah,
that's how their brain works.
They can't help this, is what you're saying.
Essentially, there's an element of truth in that. And
yeah.
A lot of this depends, by the way, on what went on before. So here we have a 13-year-old girl. My question to these parents are, was she doing chores when she was 7?
Mm.
When she was 5? Did you ask her to put her cereal bowl in the sink when she was 4 years of age? Or did you not do that? And now all of a sudden, you're creating a brand new world for a person who has no learning history and no reinforcement history of ever having to do it. And you expect that change to happen without a battle? Ain't going to work that way. Proper contribution to the family home begins at age 3.
Yeah.
Not at age 13.
Mm. Next question is this. I've 2 boys who started secondary school last month. They've settled in very well, found new friends, and are coping with the changes of teachers. They love their new subjects and surroundings. Here's my problem. They have a science teacher who they hate. They don't like Wednesdays and Thursdays because science is on that day. They've just completed 2 chapters and say they don't know anything. They complain the teacher writes too small on the board. She goes too fast through new words. She doesn't allow questions. We do a carpool with other kids and they are having similar issues with the teacher. My question is, how do I prevent my kids hating a subject that they have to do? Do I approach the teacher, the principal, or do I let my kids sink or swim? I really would appreciate your guidance in this minefield.
If you feel as though you have a genuine concern about how the teacher is teaching, you do not approach the principal about that. You go up the chain of command. You first ask to speak with the teacher. You do not point fingers. You do not blame. You do not criticize. You start with the truth. My son is telling me he's having difficulty reading some of the words on the blackboard because your print is a bit too small. We're going to have his eyes checked. That may be a little bit of a fib.
Mm.
Could you please write a little larger? That's a reasonable request to be made of any teacher. So no controversy there. Your two boys' job is to learn to cope with a difficult person. This is the way school is. They have 8 or 9 teachers a day.
Yeah.
All of them are going to be wonderfully warm, cuddly, fuzzy human beings. Some of them are going to be narky and irritable. That is the law of human nature. That does not mean they're bad teachers. In fact, some of those people may be some of the best teachers because they have very high demands and very high standards, so long as they can be reasonably flexible from individual to individual. So I think you have to just tell your boys, look, your job is to understand the vocabulary. If you do not understand the word, what we want you to do is write it down in your journal or in the side of your book, if children are allowed to write in their books. They should be, but maybe they don't even have books. Maybe it's one of those modern schools with tablets. Bah, humbug for that. But then you go and review that with them at home.
Yeah.
So they have no complaints anymore.
I think that point is a very good point because, like, again, I've experienced that as well, that you get, that you kind of do suspect occasionally they have a teacher who isn't maybe the greatest teacher, but it does actually teach them how to deal with difficulty, how to get around that sort of problem.
It's a very important life skill that we all have to learn. I'm struggling with it myself, by the way, but we're going to live and work in the world.
It's basically, you know, when you go into the world, you're going to have to deal with the occasional asshole, so you might as well start learning now.
I wasn't going to use that word because I'm too polite.
You're
dead right. Now, that doesn't mean we relinquish our parental responsibility. If in your mind and your heart you believe your child is being treated unfairly or criticized by a teacher, that needs to be addressed. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about two boys and some others, all of whom have the same complaint about this teacher. I wonder if this teacher isn't, in fact, an excellent teacher who has very high expectations and who is expecting these 12-year-olds, they just started, so they're 12 or 13, to step up to the plate and to look up terminology that they don't fully understand. Not everything can be covered by the teacher in 40 minutes, in 50 minutes. It's just impossible. The demands of the curriculum are a crushing weight on secondary school teachers in particular, but also on our primary school teachers, where 18 subjects must be covered every week.
Yeah.
18. And you've got a timetable to keep. And you may have 32 children in the class, or you may have 5. It doesn't matter. It's really difficult. I'm not making excuses, but I think a heart-to-heart talk with the boys about, let's assume your responsibility, lads, as students now.
I have 3 boys and a girl, all under 12. And whenever I get a chance to listen, I've often taken up David's advice. He's very much a steel fist in a velvet glove, which is refreshing in this day and age.
I mean, a steel fist
in a velvet glove. Outside your charming exterior, you're actually cold steel.
No one who knows me, anyone who knows me would say the exact opposite, by the way.
Studies have shown that people do better when they are brought up with chores. It teaches them cause and effect, work ethic, etc.
I think I just said that.
Yeah, you did just say that, actually. Yep. I have a solution to the messy teenage bedroom. Don't go in there. I've 3 of them and avoid their room at all costs.
Good advice.
Yeah, but when the smell starts to creep out the door, what do you do about it then?
Air fresheners, Sean.
My 8-year-old son is in the car listening. He says, if you want kids off the iPads, then parents need to get off their phones. Which is probably not true.
There's a lot of wisdom there. Thank you, 8-year-old.
And Sinead Ryan says, a friend's son's job was to put out the wheelie bin. When he refused, she put it in his bedroom. Oh, you'd love to do it just once.
Oh, lovely.
David, always a pleasure.
Thanks
very much for coming into us.
Listen in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. here on Moncrief for more parenting advice from David Carey.